Welcome, everyone. Here we are moving right along in Proverbs. Here in chapter 4, we're talking about Solomon, and he's persuading the reader to obedience into the doctrine and to honor the father and the parents and listen to them and to study wisdom and to shun the path of the wicked. He talks about faith here. Right? We just got out of that faith chapter Sunday. And sanctification. Chapter 4 in the book of Proverbs, verse 1. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. There it is again. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake you not my law. Okay, and there it is. There's the written word. We're taught in the Bible itself to feed on the word of God. This is not something that you don't have to do. And I don't care who tells you otherwise, they don't know what they're talking about or they're a liar. You need to be in this doctrine, reading from one end to the other, just like we're doing here. And there's no telling how much wisdom and understanding you will have. You're liable to blow right by us here at the table. And you know what? We'll love that. We'll love you for that. We love to see people grow in the doctrine. 3, it says, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Okay. Now, if he's talking literal, you're talking about David and Bathsheba. And David did his share of teaching to Solomon. For he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. And there is a great speech that we have in the history that David commanded Solomon to do as being king, and he also instructed other people around Solomon to help him because he was so young. But this goes for all of us here in 5. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Folks, this is treasure. This doctrine, these proverbs, these psalms, these prophecies, these histories, this is better than treasure. Okay, now when it comes to wisdom and understanding, here she is in 6. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Okay, now listen. Is there anything here stinging you out there, folks? Is it stinging anybody here at the table? Or is it a love? See? Because if you talk to old Lucian up there in Cleveland, the head of the Church of Satan up there, this would be stinging his ears. He'd be saying, that guy's a maniac. Oh, how ignorant. That stupid Bible. He's probably a Trump supporter. This is actually what he said. He made fun of Christians, acted like he's an atheist, which he's not. Listen, atheism isn't making his face turn left of center. That's a devil in this guy. Anyway, this should be an absolute treasure love. It is for me. And I don't care how many times I've been through this, every time is an absolute joy. It just is. Okay. All right, so 6, 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Okay, wisdom is to know the Lord and understanding, do his commandments. So you not only have it in your heart, but it comes out in your actions. It's being wise about the doctrine and being able to put it into practice. Wisdom and understanding. All right. There's a little take on it. 8, exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou doest embrace her. See, this is that intimate relationship with wisdom and understanding. This, you know, it's hard to describe it. How joyous it is. This is your marriage out there, son or daughter, whoever you are, to wisdom and understanding. And the amount of gifts that she gives us back just cannot be numbered. What else does she do in 9? She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. 10, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Yeah, eternity in the New Jerusalem with Christ. That's a lot of days. That's forever. 11, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. 12, when thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Okay, so this is your footsteps in life, staying true blue, staying straight ahead, not going to the left or right away from the path that Christ has given you. 13, take hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. See, this has to do with the spirit in you. She is thy life, folks, because if you don't have wisdom and understanding, you'll be deceived, you'll be tricked, you'll be trapped, and you will end up possibly going down the abyss. 14 is a new paragraph. It says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. So get out of your cult group. I don't care which one it is, which little end of it all the different pieces of it. They got something for everybody. They got a little so-called religion, a cult group, a good old boys club, all that. Get away from it. Run away now. Come out of the whore of Babylon. Stay away from these wicked people. 15, it says, avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. You don't have to enter in through door 6, folks. You don't have to do that. That golden door, 666 equals 999, folks. Stay away from it. 16, for they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. That is the mindset of the Illuminist. That is the Adam Weishaupt playbook. They love every bit of it. They love strife. They love deception. They love to lie. They look down on you because you have a conscience. I'm serious. They write about it. They write about it, folks. They actually have the audacity to put parts of it in the education process. And then if you don't have any objections to it, like say you read The Prince, Machiavelli, or you read the Lenin Anthology, or the Philosophy of Marxism, or the Philosophy of Power, and you don't have any objections to none of that, you're noted. You're noted as you get your bachelor's degree. Now, if you go in there and you argue with them, see, you're not gonna get up in the degrees, see. And that's the same way when you go into the lodge. If you go in there and you start talking about Christ, you'll be froze. You'll never go up one more degree. This is the way they weed through people. And the priests of Baal think they are so clever, and you will never understand because you're profane to these people. And if you think you're a Christian, oh, you're really profane. What a dummy. We can get him to do anything. All right, 17. What else do these people do? As they destroy people, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. How about that little similitude? But notice here the wicked in 17. Notice that the bread nourishes them. The bread of what? Wickedness. That's what feeds their soul. See, for you, it's the love of the Holy Ghost and to do good to the fellow brother, to love others as yourself, to go through the doctrine and get fed in the spirit. Not for these people. They have a doctrine, all right, and it's the Adam Weishaupt doctrine. And he didn't invent it. He just re-upped it. He just gave it a new facelift there in 1776, and on they went. And we're getting the butt end of that today, and it tramples over people. It tramples over relationships, governments, religions. Yes, indeed. Oh, Adam Weishaupt. 19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Okay, but they don't think like that. They think they are all clever, folks. They just do. They are so arrogant. They have been brainwashed to think they are better than everyone else that does not belong to their cult group. Okay, and it doesn't matter which group we're talking about, because this web of deception is thick, and it has lots of parts. And each part is designed to attract a certain part of society and to drag them down. And how do we fight that? Well, it's the way you're doing it right now. You got your Bible in front of you. You're listening to the words. You're thinking about it. You may even be arguing with some things I say. That doesn't stop you from understanding your Bible. You don't have to agree with me. But keep your mind open. I'll keep mine open. In fact, if you got an argument, you call me on the phone. Argue. Call in on Sunday. Correct me. I love correction. If you correct me, I'll love you for that. All right, but that's that. We'll let the doctrine do the speaking, and it'll correct me, and it'll correct you. Because I tell you, I went into the Bible looking for a mistake, looking for some flaw in it, and I didn't find any flaws in it. But I found a hell of a lot of flaws in me. All right, so that's that. 20 is a new paragraph. It says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Good old King Solomon. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Did you just hear that? How could anybody get in here and say that wisdom and understanding doesn't have anything to do with your salvation? See what I mean? There's just no... there's no talking to these people. They're so, so stupid and unlearned and arrogant. Look at the benefit there in 22. In 23, it says, in a new paragraph, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. put away from thee a froward mouth, and preserve lips, and perverse lips. Okay, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Okay, we explained that froward is an old English word. It means stiff necks, hard-hearted against God, lying, cheating. It is just a terrible, terrible word. 25, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Yeah, don't go left or right. 26, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all the ways, thy ways, be established. Period, and that's by who? By Christ. 27, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Okay, and then we go on into chapter 5. I think all that speaks for itself. We were discussing the fact that he will guide your footsteps for you and me. Okay, and keep us from going backwards. We got to keep moving forwards. We discussed looking at the history and looking forward and keeping the history in mind so that we know where we came from, but yet continuing forward in our progress to know the Lord, to gain his wisdom and understanding. So anyway, we'll do some more of that here. In chapter 5, it says, my son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. What about the words? What about your words? I mean, I don't care what you're doing, you can still have wisdom and understanding. And it's a bigger joy than some old stupid talk that children don't even have. This has to do with words here also. All this should be a joy. And it shouldn't be stinging your ears. This is a treasure to me. What about you people at the table? Is this a treasure to you? They say yes. 3, it says in a new paragraph, for the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Okay, now you ladies out there, this could be some slicker. Some slicker there, all dressed up in a suit and tie. And there he is, buttering your bread. But her end is utter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Okay, wormwood is a poison, but yet it has to do with hell, folks. By going away from the bride of your youth and going into the ungodly sex, you're falling into the abyss. You just are. You will attract fallen angels, and you will end up going backwards. And if you're blessed, God will just knock the fire out of you to get you straightened up. But what else about this lady who has the occult doctrine and has her free love that she wants to give you? Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Okay, she's an occultist. She's a witch. If you're a lady, the men are witches too. And they got all their different ways of trying to pack you into their cult gang. Like I said, old Lucius up there in Cleveland, he has a lady right there. She's busy sticking up for all of it. So they like to get you in their cult gang too, but make sure you don't end up on strapped down to a table on Beltane. You guys know what I'm saying too. They'll slip you a Mickey. For you young kids, you don't know what that is. That means drop something in your drink, put you out. you wake up in the wrong place. In 6, lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. So there you are. You fell for the harlot here. Maybe even a similitude to the whore of Babylon. It doesn't matter. Now you can't get the wisdom and understanding. You're in big trouble here, believer. 7, it says, hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Do not backslide. Never go backwards. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. Okay, so that's obvious. She's in there. She's got the Egyptian mysteries all around her. She's got a scented bed. There's not an odor coming out of her bathroom even. It looks like paradise in there, right? But what about the whore of Babylon? She looks seductive to people with her riches and her glory, right? So is there a similitude to you guys there? To not going into a stranger that has the occult doctrine, but the occult doctrine itself connected directly to the whore of Babylon, which is the world government, which takes up every kindred, tongue, and nation of the world. The whore. Okay, in 9 it says, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and the years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. Okay, so you've taken a fall here. You've lost it all. Why? Because you were tempted, and you went with the temptation instead of running the other way and fighting the temptation of the ungodly sex with the occultist. Okay, and this goes for men and women. 11, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. Folks, that is destruction in this world, and more importantly, in the world to come. 12, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof? Yeah, they don't want to hear it. Oh, I gotta do the ungodly sex. I just have to. That's what the world, the whole world rotates around my ungodly sex that God hates. Now, that's pretty stupid. 13, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. ? I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. All right, so here we have someone that's backslidden, and he's warning us not to do that and to not fall off into this, because sex is a big, strong one, all right, but we got to be aware of it. And listen, when it comes to these cult groups, most of the time, it's wide open, degenerate sex. Sickening sex. Tied into ritual. Okay, and that gateway is the porthole to hell. All right, so there's that. Now in 15, it says, drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. You see, this is more than just good drinking water here, folks. Many times water represents spirit. So, here you are. First off, you're taking care of your own spiritual health. But by doing that, okay, see, you're not out here spraying a hose out in the street. No, 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 no. You're sharing your spiritual wisdom and understanding out here, okay? Now, I'm not saying you don't need good water. They're poisoning their water. They've been doing that. But we're talking now in the spiritual world. The river of life is what we're talking about. And here you get wisdom and understanding. You don't hide it. In 16, you let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of waters in the streets. And that's you. That's you out here sharing with someone so that they can be blessed. 17, let them be only thine own and not thy strangers with thee. Okay, so there we go with the, we're not all one. Okay, we are yoked with believers. But he's telling you, you don't have to be all one big cult group here. Okay? In other words, there's this, we are all one thing from Babylon, and that's not what we want. We don't want to be intertwined, especially with people that are ungodly. Okay, so there's the physical river of life, the water that nourishes you and me. That's so important to have good, clean water. But the spiritual water also. 18, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Okay, so you don't go whoring around, folks. You can't whore around and teach the doctrine at the same time. You cannot do that. You will drive the Holy Ghost right out of you. If you are a fornicator, it will drive the Holy Ghost away from you. It just will. Someone asked me that question one time. They said, why not? I said, well, one thing, you lose your salvation because the Holy Ghost will not stay in you when you are fornicating. Okay? All right, so that doesn't mean just because you had a temptation and you had a bad thought that now it doesn't matter that you go and do it. That is what Pastor Brown tells you. And he's full of beans. That's what Joseph Prince, what is his real name anyway? Do we know what his real name is? Anyway, he's got a fake name. You talk about when it comes to cult groups, they all go in there. They wear the same hat. They wear the same headdress. You got to see his cult group if nobody's ever seen him. They all dye their hair the same color as him. They wear the same clothing. How cultic is what those rabbis are doing over there? They all dress the same? That's not in the old doctrine here. Where is it in here that the Pharisees said everyone has to dress in the same? And it don't look real manly to me. It's really weird. Everyone has to wear the same attire. That's cultic. So that's another aspect to all this. You don't have to look just like the next person. See, that's what cult groups do. I got to have the same hat. I got to have the same hairdo. And that's what Joseph Prince does. That's what the everyone dresses like a pilgrim. That actually came out of Satanism. Somebody brought that up about the attire that the rabbis have over there. I said, that doesn't come out of the Old Testament at all. That came out of Satanism. Yes, it did. Show me in the Bible where it talks about, show me the old pictures of it, the old sketches of it, where they all had the same hairdo and the same clothes. See, that's cultic when you do that. And he's warning us against that here. You're an individual, okay? And even though we're yoked in spirit, we don't go around like some clowns dressing like Joseph Prince, who is nothing but an occultist. Okay, anytime someone tells you you all got to have a uniform for no reason at all, it isn't, it's cultic in nature. It just is. That's what cult groups do. So that's 18. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. No whoring around and nothing with the whore of Babylon. None of her religions. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breasts satisfy thee all at all times. And be thou ravished always with her love. Yeah, see, there's no sin with a couple together for life. So you don't move on and change husbands or change wives like you change a pair of socks. That is whoring. That's all that is. Now, Christ explained all this. We're not to have a whole harem of wives. You really think that those Mormons that are doing that, how many wives do they have? They just pile them up there. Oh, yeah, sister wives. Yeah, baloney, that's cultic, folks. That's satanic. So there's a whole church of people. Huge amounts of money poured in from Rockefellers to establish that. Okay, and they anyway, God meant it for one-on-one, folks. A man and a woman. Okay? And that's easy to talk about. It's easy to prove. That's what Christ said. He sent you right back there to Genesis when he was asked about that. And he said divorce is an abomination. Just is. All right, so from the beginning, it was not so, Christ said. Anyway, on I go. 20, it says, and why wilt thou, my son, not my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? Question mark. No, that's stupidity. You are just being an idiot. So keep your eyes to yourself and your hands to yourself, dude. When you let your eyes wander, the heart can wander. And that can lead you to temptation. And when temptation has its fruit, death and hell. Hey, you know what? We're just going to study that Sunday in the book of James. That exact instruction from James 21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. Okay, and then we have a new paragraph. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. 23, he shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. Now, like I said, in the law of God it said, do not lust. See, it's not a physical law. It's actually there in the Ten Commandments that it's not a physical law. Don't lust after your neighbor's stuff. Because, like I said, the eye will wander. And the eye wanders, in comes the temptation. And if you run from that temptation, that's a feather in your hat. That's a paraphrase. But James is going to explain all this. If you go ahead and sin like Joseph Prince, the pagan prince, tells you to do, the end of that is a gateway to hell. And you will get written out of his book. You cannot be a fornicator. 23, he shall die without instruction, because you won't listen to the doctrine. And in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. And that is a sheep that is not coming back home, folks. That's a bad deal, man. How about the rest of eternity? Is that worth it? Or are we going to stay straight and narrow in this doctrine? Well, here at the table, we're going to stay straight and in the doctrine. So, from the table here, from Harriet Benzie and myself, may God, your God, my God, The Father, Son, Holy Ghost go with every one of you, and I will see you in chapter 6. Bye-bye.